Betty and Margaret. I did say that all of us are familiar with the Easter story as given to us in Scripture. Easter morning is the last event in the experience called Holy Week. The words, "He is risen," refer to life, not death. But exactly who or what is risen? Divine science teaches that we journey through life from a purely objective point of view, unfolding to the revelation of Christ consciousness. Man begins his path of experience on the material realm of life, where self-preservation comes first. And for a very long time, we exist according to material things. As human beings, we are oblivious to the greater self that indwells each one of us. Our sense of things is in the world of the material. But remember, the time of unfoldment is also a time of growth, a time when we move forward, releasing old perspectives about life, allowing us to make room for revelation compatible with the new understanding. Sooner or later, the intuitive urge of growth arouses in the soul of man to a need for something higher than his present view of life. And he begins to realize that he is destined for something greater than that worldly view he finds around him. Eventually, Christ, the one that is higher than the human identity, it begins to dawn. And a new spiritual order of life is perceived. A rebirth occurs, and a new set of values comes to consciousness. Now, growth and unfoldment brings a new awareness of self. One speaks of life and not death. And we want to consciously be the one who knows us in that way. Now, on Easter morning, we speak of resurrected, being resurrected from the dead. That is, being lifted up or raised out of the state of humanhood into a consciousness of the risen Christ, which is our true self. Now, our founders in divine science, they define resurrection as man's evolving consciousness, his gradual rising to a higher concept of truth. The events of Holy Week, they take place in individual consciousness. All awareness is actually an activity of consciousness. It is in consciousness that the first concept of Christ is born on Christmas Day, and it is there that the fully developed Christ is revealed, releasing us from the confines of the material form with this personal view of life. Now, releasing our erroneous beliefs is what Paul refers to as dying daily. When we die to something, it no longer belongs to us. It is over. And when it applies to our spiritual journey, it means that each day we let go of something that does not belong to Christ. We cross out anything that does not belong to truth. To die daily is to be dead to disease, dead to lack or limitation, dead to anything and everything that keeps us bound to this earth plane. The things that we are dead to, let us just put them over there in a tomb of misconceptions and erroneous beliefs. Let us lay to rest all of the conflicts and the confusion that disturb the mind and the body. Now, some people refer to a tomb as a place of rest. When we lay to rest our misconceptions and erroneous beliefs, we have dealt with them, and they no longer have power over us. It's now time to talk about crucifixion. Now that act of crossing out, the act of surrendering the old way of life, it is necessary before we can rise to a new place of recognition. Now metaphysically, we are told that crucifixion is the crossing out in consciousness of errors that have become fixed states of mind. It is the surrender of the personality in order that the Christ mind may be expressed in all of its fullness. Now we may hear this and read about it, and we may agree that it does sound reasonable, and it might be so. But sounding reasonable and being so does not always translate into us actually doing it. Sometimes that act of giving up or releasing, it's painful. It is not easy to let go of what we always considered to be so. Human beings accept both pain and pleasure as necessary to the human experience. And while we may not always be okay with what happens, still, we have become accustomed to living life in this way. There is a mental state of resistance and a mental state of acceptance, and we have lived both of them. Now, for eons of time, we have entertained ideas about us and about life. And to give those ideas up would mean that we would give up our idea of self. Basically, we would lose our identity. And that is what our life revolved around, that idea of who we are. Now, of course, this would be true to a certain degree. To unfold to a place of Christ consciousness and then to abide there would indicate a release of the material self as our identity. But exactly what is this life that we would lose? What is this idea that we would give up? Are we being asked to give up our homes, our job, or our relationships? Are we being asked to sell all that we have and move away to some cave located in a far-off country? We are not really being asked to do any of this. What we give up is a sense of us as that man who has his breath in his nostrils. Life is eternal. We cannot lose life. What we do give up is a concept of life restricted to the material form. This is actually our rebirth. Being born anew to a life that has no beginning and no end. Now we are told that Jesus laid down his life and was placed in a tomb. Now his tomb, his place that some might call rest, was appropriate for his state of consciousness. On the cross he had declared, "It is finished." Now his life was not finished. Eternal life can never be over. But what was finished, what was completed, was his mission on this earth plane. His time of rest was compatible with his elevated, peaceful state of consciousness. And then we are told in the Bible that he rested for 3 days. He did not die. The word of truth, it cannot die. Not for me. I think the message is that once we have surrendered the personal self, a time of rest is required before we can overcome the appearance of death. Remember, our founders told us that resurrection is man's gradual rising to a higher concept of truth. We come into the full revelation through a gradual process. We have lain to rest our erroneous beliefs and our misconceptions, but we may not yet have come to terms with the appearance called death. We might not yet be able to say, It is finished. We may still have a little bit of work to do. Now, to study and practice the truth that we know means we are resting in God. Our place of rest is a sanctuary within our soul. It is there that we come to terms with resistance and acceptance, and it is there that our rebirth occurs. An inner activity prepares us for a new time of demonstration. We are told that Christ rises out of the ashes of human misunderstanding and erroneous beliefs. Well, yes. When what belongs to the humanhood is laid to rest, what is left is Christ. This is the full demonstration of the activity of truth that goes before us, making every crooked place straight, healing and restoring each to its rightful place. And now we come to the part of the Easter story, which is the last part. We are told that the resurrected Christ rose and went to his Father. We are told that he ascended into heaven. Consciousness lifted on high enters the kingdom of heaven. To make the Easter story our Easter story, we too must take the steps that Jesus took. Let us not neglect that trip to Jerusalem. It is only in a place of peace that we become seriously interested in a spiritual journey. When we begin our journey of life, we do so from that place of human consciousness. That is where we begin. Now, the place of human consciousness, it could not demonstrate beyond what is known and understood by the work of thought. Now, this realm of being, it is not a peaceful state of awareness. It is not capable of going beyond appearance. So that trip to Jerusalem is a very necessary first step. Jesus told us he was not of this world. He had overcome the world of sense awareness. He laid to rest all that belonged to the world. The activity of surrender, the activity of crucifixion, is necessary before Christ can be fully expressed and demonstrated. Now, when Christ is fully expressed, it abides in the state of consciousness where that word of truth is never idle. It quietly does its work. In the Bible, we are told that when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary arrived at the tomb on Easter morning, that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. There sat an angel, and he said, "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He is risen." Once it is realized, the word of truth cannot be restricted or contained to any one place, and it will not be denied. We rest in God, gaining strength for the greater demonstration. This process continues until the whole consciousness is vitalized by the Holy Spirit. Now, as human beings journey from sense awareness to Christ consciousness, we go through this process many times. Unfoldment and growth do not happen to us in just one giant leap. There will be times when we retreat to the place of rest to find our center. There will be other times when our tomb is empty. Those times when we are out among our fellow man, being about our Father's business, allowing him to do the work. There will be other times when we long to retreat to a place of rest, but we are not quite able to find it, and we wonder what happened. Well, perhaps we have forgotten that trip to Jerusalem. We cannot rest in the Lord while living in a state of uncertainty or confusion. Or maybe we did not completely cross out the old ideas that we carried with us for a very long time. Perhaps we are still tempted by appearance with its conclusions and misunderstandings. I believe that until we can say with Jesus that we are not of this world, until that time that we can say it is finished, we will continue to some degree to respond as that one who is in the world. But let us not be discouraged. The act of unfoldment and growth develop according to our willingness to practice and live what we have learned in our time of resting in God. At some point we may look around us and we too can declare, it is finished. Our journey is over and we are home. But this cannot be rushed. And this is really okay because you see, life is eternal and we have eternity to get it right. This morning we give recognition to eternal life. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? On this joyous Easter morning, let us take a few moments to acknowledge that my kingdom is not of this world. In this time of stillness, we prepare ourselves to receive the revelation of eternal life. Let us cross out any misunderstandings, any ideas that we are not of God. As we empty ourselves of personality, personal opinion, Christ rises in us. The activity of Christ lifts us, it renews, restores, revealing we are not limited to this one place and time. We are eternal life. It is the awareness of this life that allows us to go to our Father. Christ is raised from the tomb of human belief, ascending to the holy place of the Most High. At this very moment, we realize there is no death, no separation. And then we hear the words, "This is my child, in whom I am well pleased." Let this be our Easter celebration. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.